Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
Oh. MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Round three in the books, round four on the way, and it is Brisbane's Rugby League. Brisbane at the top. 1-2. Broncos, Dolphins, baby. MG, how are you?
Take the grand final there now. Get it there. Play every origin there. Every origin game there. Play every trial game there. Brisbane is the capital of rugby league.
It's the BRL once more.
It's an astonishing fact that, you know, we're in the midst of round four upon us and three rounds down, and there's no way in the world. If someone gave me $5,000 and said, look, okay, if Brisbane and Dolphins were 1-2 after round three, I'll give you this money. I'd say, no, keep your money. Because there's no way in God's earth that I would have ever thought this would happen. Dolphins are fantastic. Broncos are even better. But as we'll talk about, Kafusi, his absence from this blockbuster on Friday will be felt.
We're going to save a bit of time to talk about the Battle of Brisbane that's happening this Friday night. It is going to be a moment for rugby league. The city is buzzing. I'll give you a bit of a feel of what it's like a bit later on. Let's quickly cast our minds back to round three in the books. Look, Parramatta, I tipped them. I thought Parramatta's too good a side to start the season 0-3. They were playing against the Manly at Brookie or at Four Pines Park. But Manly just got it done, and I thought, I was watching it, I thought, here they come. Here's Parramatta. Here's a team that made the grand final last year. Here they come. But they just didn't seem to have that, you know, clinical finish, professionalism to finish that game and get that win, and Manly fought it out.
Yeah, Parramatta seem to be, in the last three games they've lost, they seem to be an opportunity to win all three. And look, I'm not going to go down the fact that they've, one of their best forwards could have helped them, because I think that's been beaten to death, the Madison saga. But it says it all about the club at the moment. You know, we're going to hear a grab a bit later about, you know, Mitchell Moses again, and it seems to be that they just don't have any direction at the moment as far as off-field stuff goes. I mean, you've got to have these type of things, especially the Mitchell Moses contract. You've got to have...
Well, the grab you're referring to. Let's play it now. So this is from NRL 360 during the week, where Mitchell Moses, we know he's unsigned beyond the end of this current season, and here's Paul Kent on NRL 360 dropping something of a bombshell about where his future might lie.
There's rumours going around. I have not had anyone confirm them that the Roosters are sitting out whether Keary's going to get through the season okay.
Is that right?
But that's just more on the Roosters. Everyone thinks they go to the Roosters. But it wouldn't... Look, it's a smart move by Moses' management if they're going to do that. If he's holding out just to see what else pops up.
That's interesting.
It's still... But he's still got another year, okay, at Parramatta.
Yeah, he's got an option. He's got until round 10 to declare whether he wants to stay at Parramatta another year.
And I tend to think that it'd be closer to round 10 that we're going to get a decision. Because I reckon round 10, he's going to have to... If he's going to go elsewhere... His preference would probably be to go sooner rather than later, and therefore he doesn't want to exercise the option around 10. So I would suggest roughly, as a guess, without having spoken to his manager or Mitchell, that's what they'd be sort of...
So the Eels fans just sit back and cop that? The Eels as a club just sit back and cop that?
Well, yeah, the Roosters, oh, my goodness. If they can afford him, well, I can afford a yacht, Jeff Bezos' yacht. I feel sorry for the Roosters, even if they had nothing to do with this. They always seem to be the club that every manager aligns their client with. And Mitch Moses saga, look, I think that should have been done and dusted before the season started, like he said it was going to be. So this is strictly a no Mitch Moses contract podcast from this day forward. I think they've got
people a little bit more on it as well. Danny Wilder's come out. And updated and said Trent Robinson will be informing their halves, i.e. Keary and Walker, that the club has no interest in Mitchell Moses. The Roosters are going to come out and knock this on his head. That doesn't mean there's no truth to it, but it certainly dismisses the notion a little bit. But when we get back to that moment, MG, when Mitch Moses was being questioned about his future in the game by the journalist, and he got salty about it. Yep. Maybe we should have looked into that a bit more, that, you know, there was some real disharmony at this club.
Yeah, they're not playing like a team who are in harmony at the moment, because to be in the grand final last year and to lose your first three games, albeit, as I said a second ago, they've been up to their eyeballs in all three games.
Yeah.
The litmus test is tomorrow night against the Panthers, who they have pretty good record over, and they always, you know, push the Panthers to the limit. So I'm expecting a really close game, and basically this is kind of a final game come early, because if they go 0-4, well, they can't. Well, history will tell you that no team's ever won the comp from being 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make the top four is going to be hard. Make the top eight is going to be a struggle as well. So I think that they'll throw all eggs in one basket, and they're going to come hard for the Panthers tomorrow night. But yeah, look, it's the Madison thing was the thing that I think most people were shaking their head over Now we're hearing some of the Parramatta players and their staff saying that, well, you know, they shouldn't have been asked that question just after a grand final. Why? You shouldn't have to ask him the question. You should have told him the question. If you're earning, you know, 75K.
It's not a hard question.
I think he's earned like 75K for the last three games he didn't play.
It's not a hard question.
He's sitting on the sideline. He could have put $3,000 into the players' fund kitty or anything. Yeah.
We didn't ask him. We didn't ask him to negotiate the CBA.
And you know what? I think that's indicative of where they find themselves.
Yeah,
I think there's something in the way that Parramatta started the season, in the fact that a player at their club was allowed to do that. It's every time I think of it, it beggars belief. That I know that most clubs would never let it happen.
Yeah,
would never let it happen.
Dolphins, 3 on the trot, 36-20 over the Knights. It was a bit of a guess who game with the Knights team list. There were a lot of first gamers, a lot of new faces, unknown faces. But Dolphins, first road trip in their NRL history, and they got it done. They got a win. And, you know, they just keep ticking the check boxes.
Yeah, they're doing it. They're playing like a team who haven't been together for 3 weeks. They're playing like a team that's been together for 3 years. And that's the biggest rap I can give them. I think that the way their backline movements are flowing with ease. When you look at some of the teams that are struggling at the bottom of the ladder, like the Tigers and the Cowboys, even the Knights, the Storm, my goodness, their backline movement is non-existent. And sometimes these teams that are on the bottom of the ladder are looking around for someone to pass the ball to, even. But the Dolphins are in sync, and they're well drilled. And obviously that's a Wayne Bennett thing. But I think the fact that they bought three players from the Melbourne Storm situation and their culture, it's kind of, it's just like wildfire up there. And they're playing great. This, you know, as you said, we'll get to the game on Friday night, which I can't wait for. But they're doing what they've got to do, the Dolphins, and they sit atop the table, and they're not there by fluke.
No, and we will talk about the Felice Kaufusi absence, because that might be an unfillable hole for this for this Dolphins lineup. So, look, we'll get to that. This was the one we were all waiting for. We were expecting sin bins galore. We were expecting fireworks, and it was a good tussle. Thankfully, we didn't see the procession to the rooms that we saw last two when these teams met. But Roosters, 2018, holding on for what feels like a really important win for them.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. That was a really important win for the Roosters, and it's a win that came at the perfect time, and it's a win that wouldn't have happened if they weren't a team in harmony. We're hearing a lot about Suwali and Tedesco.
Teddy and the fullback stuff.
Forget about it.
I don't believe that for a second.
Trent Robinson wouldn't let it happen on his watch. They wouldn't have beat the Rabbitohs if that was happening. They would not have beat the Rabbitohs if that was happening. In fact, they beat them on the old Roosters spirit. So South again. Look, their two losses have been close. You know, they come back in both games against the Panthers and now against the Roosters. They're going to be good. Well, this week they've got a few big forwards out, the Rabbitohs, but they're going to be good. I really liked. Obviously, Tedesco was on fire. Kiri's steering the ship well. And for the losing team, the two best players again were Cam Murray and Latrell Mitchell, who kind of fired. Latrell left his gun in the holster until, you know, the last possible moment. So you're going to want more from Luttrell if you're Demetrio, because you want him to start the game like he's been finishing them.
Really nice for Jackson Paulo to score twice against his former side. Can I look, Jared Roy Hargreaves? We saw how well Trent Robinson used him off the bench. Brandon Smith, is he just better off the bench? Like, is he just a better player when he's injected, when there's an element of fatigue in the opposition?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's a hooker. I don't think he's a number nine. I think he's a 13. He's an out-and-out 13 who can ball play before the line. He can run out of dummy. He can scoot in a dummy half and jump in it if he wants. But I just don't think he's a... I think the modern number nine is a lot more tactically astute around the dummy half area. And with Brandon, I think it's just kind of a fatigue thing that he does so much work off the ball and so much in defence that once it comes to the scheming of a dummy half's role, it's kind of not in his mantra anymore. I think he's a lock forward. Obviously Radley's there, so they've got an embarrassment of riches. But 14. He could be the best 14 in the competition. He could be if you put him there. But you're not paying $800,000 to have a bloke sit on the bench.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like these wingers that want to play fullback, or it's these centers that want to play fullback, and you kind of sign them. You're like, oh yeah, we might play you as a. It's a Stephen Crichton contract sort of thing, where
exactly.
It's like, you know, we kind of want to pay you fullback money. So the Roosters like, well, we're kind of going to pay you number nine money, but maybe you're not suited to being number nine.
He's betwixt and between positions at the moment. He's like one of them guys who it's kind of put a square peg in a round hole. He's got to be in your team, but where's he going to be the most?
Yeah, exactly.
Just as we were saying the other night, I was watching with a few people, just as we were saying, maybe this move to the Roosters, Brandon Smith might be second guessing himself. Well, then he scored a 40-meter try and we go, oh, okay, there he is. That's the cheese that we've come to know and love. And he's got that in his game.
There's not a team in the competition that Brandon Smith wouldn't make the best 17 of. But it's almost as though at different clubs he could do different roles. He could play number 13 at certain teams. He could play number 9 at other teams. He could be a 14 off the bench for the Roosters.
Good point.
He's a footballer. And it's great. It was great to see him put on his best performance so far for the Tricolours. They got a win. Let's roll into Saturday, where I was offended by most of the rugby league community for not backing in my Titans in this game. I know you would. I know you stick fat. 38-34. I did sideline for this game for Triple M NRL. I was busy. There are a lot of points. And good. I haven't said this on air. I haven't said this anywhere yet, MG. Kieran Foran brushed me.
What?
So, this whole business.
He did get replaced.
Now, he was filthy. He was proper dirty about it. So for those that aren't aware, what happened was Tanner Boyd got taken high, sent for an HIA, taken off the field. Now, they have Jaden Campbell on the bench coming off as a 14.
Yep.
Brilliant 14 to have. You talk about Brandon Smith being a useful 14. Jaden Campbell can play anywhere in the backs. So they bring Jaden Campbell in, right? And he slots in at number 6. Kieran took over at 7. And then Tanner Boyd gets cleared. So Tanner Boyd's only been off the ground for 15 minutes.
Yep.
And Justin Holbrook's made the decision that, well, I don't want to just bring Jaden Campbell back off. I want to keep him out there with what he's doing. Now, Kieran had been beaten in the defensive line a couple of times by Jerome Hughes.
And dropped a couple of balls. He just wasn't his crisp self.
Exactly. So he took him off.
Yeah.
And Foran was filthy.
Brave decision. And I think
proper dirty.
And you know what? I think for Holbrook. I think Justin Holbrook said as much, that I wouldn't want him anything less than dirty. This guy wants to be on the field for 80 minutes every week. And
so we get to the end of this 38-34 win for the Titans. And I'm thinking, I get out there. I'm looking to have a chat with someone. And I assume, and I've spoken with Kieran a couple of times across the years. And I assume he's ready, he'll be up and about because of the win.
Yep.
So I walked up to him and said, Kieran, can we grab you for 2 6 for Triple M? Hadn't even finished the request. No. Brushed me. Turned the back. Walked off.
Just no. Said no.
That's his prerogative, right? I'm not going to begrudge him. But I was surprised.
Yeah.
And it showed me he's like, this is
yeah,
this is a real kick in the teeth for Kieran Foran.
Yeah, it was a masterstroke because if they'd gotten beaten, Holbrook would have been under the pump for taking one of his best players off. But
mm-hmm.
I think he saw, we all saw, that Kieran Foran wasn't the Kieran Foran that we've seen the first couple of rounds for the Titans, and a couple of his mistakes were very overt. We could all see them. And,
yeah,
when he pulled him off, I thought, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. How is he going to get him back on? But they prevailed. And on the back of their inspirational captain, Tino Fasuamalaawi, it was his best game of the year. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen him play a bad game since I've been watching him play. I don't think Tino's ever had one bad game where I thought, oh, man, that was a shocker from Tino. He's always in the contest. In fact, if I had one negative comment to say about him is he tries too much. Because he's captain, he's just got to go back a bit. He's got to take a cog back and say, okay, well, instead of doing two hit ups in this set of six, I'm going to do one in this set of six, then one, then I might have a rest, then do one, and but he just
play smarter, not harder.
He's such a competitor.
And there was added motivation for him in that one as well, because younger brother Isaac was making his first grade debut. So there was plenty of Fasuamalaawi support in the crowd as well. I think they'd exhausted the players' allocation of tickets for that one. On the other side of things, though, the Storm.
Just before we do, what about Cam Pereira? Who's this kid? What can you tell me about him?
Flyer, winger. He scored four tries in the preseason trial game against the Cowboys, and everyone, Cowboys or Dolphins? Anyway, there was a trial game where he scored four, and everyone was going, ooh. But he's a finisher. He's a flyer and a finisher. He's got speed to burn. Really, really, like, they found one there. He's locked into that wing. For the season, so we like him. And Aaron Schopp, shout out to Aaron Schopp, who got Player of the Match award. I'm also now a fan of Aaron because he was there when Kieran brushed me. Aaron came over for a chat, so big fan.
Great, good mullet.
Storm, no Cam Munster, and what I noticed being down there, I looked at the forward pack and I thought, geez, they could do with a couple of Bromwiches and Felice Kaufusi out there. Like
Kamikamitha wasn't Tino as well.
And they miss Nelson wasn't there.
Oh, sorry, Nelson Solomon. Yeah, they missed him. They missed him.
Kamikamitha wasn't his normal self. Harry Grant and Jerome Hughes tried all day. They tried all day, and you could see that if they were surrounded by the usual suspects, how damaging and impactful they would both be. But I still am reluctant to say it, even though they've lost two games so far this year. They don't look like the Melbourne Storm of old.
No, and I'm reluctant, as always, to say something negative about a Melbourne Storm team that's coached by Craig Bellamy. But you've got to look at the facts. Their defence this year has been woeful. Way too many missed tackles. They've got a minus 14 points differential, which is – I can't remember the last time I saw Melbourne with a minus – points differential. If the Tigers happen to upset them this Friday night in Melbourne, it'd be the worst start to a season from Melbourne since 2004. So it's the pressure's on. And look, Munster, I've got no doubt in the world that Munster's not ready to come back. When you have a finger injury like he had, that's usually at least a month on the sidelines. Well, he's had 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they have kind of played their joker card in round four because they know they can't lose this game because all of a sudden they're stranded on 2 points and the team they're playing will be equal with them on 2 points and probably better than them in differential. And look that's how close the Tigers are getting back on the horse.
No, they're not. No, we'll talk about the Tigers later. No, they're not.
But in Melbourne, you got to think that, Munster's going to do some magic. Just having Munster sitting in the, and we've said this, how many times have I said this about individual players? I said it about Tommy Turbo a few times, and having them in the dressing room, putting their boots on, knowing they're playing, is enough to lift spirits by 25% per player.
Well, he was there on the weekend. He flew up. He was out there in the warm up. So obviously it is. Like he tried to bring that presence by being there, but the fact that they saw him, not suiting up, obviously. Couldn't quite get them there.
What on the Titans?
What on Titans, exactly right. Look, Warriors 26, really Warriors 26, Cowboys 12.
Well, you've got to say the same thing about the Cowboys as we were saying about the Melbourne Storm. What's going on? I mean, They've got no excuses because they have a very similar team to the one that mm-hmm. was making the run last year. So I don't know. They're looking a little bit clunky. They're looking like the forwards aren't as dominant as they were last year.
Look, no drink water. That is significant. He was out for this game and at fullback. He's their number one who's been really, really good. So we got to get, and no Petahiku is the other one who is missing from their best side at the moment. But all I'll say, MG, is someone on this podcast predicted a slide for this team.
You did? Yeah.
Look, and I'm not saying they've slid yet, but they are. They're at the top of the slippery dip and they're having a look down. That's all I'll say.
It was one of your bold statements at the start mm-hmm. of the year, and I kind of said, no, mate, no, you need to go and check out Asada and wean a bottle. Because I want to drug test you after saying that. But your observation has been astute so far.
Exactly.
You can only comment on what we've been seeing.
Hey, we're looking forward to the Cowboys-Titans preview we've got coming up very shortly. I'll be interested to see where you put your who you back in for that one. Broncos, Dragons, it felt like Kevvy Walters said, I just want you blokes to idle in first and second gear for the first half and just to see what the outcome is at halftime, and then we'll shift through the gears in the second half. They are a professional outfit at the moment.
Yeah, and I want to start with the team they played first, the Dragons, who had a good win the week before in their first game of the year and didn't back it up at all. The chat, which I cannot believe, coming out of the Dragons, of Hook Griffin having to reapply for his job, is farcical. How can you expect your players to give you 100% when they run out of that footy field, when subconsciously they know that the bloke who's telling them what to do hasn't got the full support of the board? Because that to me is bullshit. Honestly, yep. I in today's age, in 2023, when we're so professional in so many ways, the Dragons at the moment are so unprofessional. They are so unprofessional by making this so over, telling us all about it. Well, who don't tell us that you want him to reapply for his job via an interview. That should be in-house. That should have nothing to do with the public. We don't want to know about that. That just gives us another reason to say, okay, well, the Dragons, they're a basket case. Come on. And they played like it. Against the Broncos. I mean, not one player I would say was in the top six players on the field. They're all Broncos. Reynolds, Haas, Reece Walsh, Carrigan, Flegler, all these guys were far superior than their opponents. And there's a reason that teams capitulate after having a big win the week before. And this is my rationale is that it's because this is what's going on at Dragons with the coach. I can't for the life of me. I don't get it, mate. I really don't.
If I'm every other team preparing to face the Dragons, I'm preparing with a mindset of, don't worry about the scoreboard. We will never be out of it against this mob. This is a team that, with everything that's going on, this is a team whose coach doesn't know if he's still going to have his job or he's being told to reapply for his job.
Ridiculous.
There's no hardness. If I'm preparing to play these Dragons, this isn't a shot at the players, mind you. This is about the mentality of the organization you're going up against.
The administration. It's solely them. I'm looking. My arrow's pointed right at them, not the players, because you're a product of your maker. And if your maker is saying that there's instability at our club, well, hey, guess what? It's going to filter down to the entity that's supposed to play the bloody game. That's the players. So it's ridiculous.
I don't think we need to go too much about the Broncos right now because, MG, I genuinely think next week, I'll give away my tip. I think they'll beat the Dolphins. They take on the Dolphins, the West Tigers, the Raiders, the Titans, the Eels, the Bunnies. It's a softish draw for a couple of weeks. But I think, you know, by mid-season, this you're talking about the best side in the comp.
I'm with you.
And we spoke to Marty Tapu on the Rush Hour in Brisbane the other day. I know you've never heard a player change clubs and then bag out their
speak
new
negatively.
Club.
No.
Yeah, they've
no.
never. But the way Marty raves about this Broncos team and his role, what he's getting to do as a bench forward in working with Flegler and Haas and Carrigan and the likes, there is a vibe amongst this Broncos outfit at the moment. There is a real vibe.
It shows on the footy field. It shows.
Bulldogs 26, Tigers 22. Tigers, oh, so close to that first win.
Oh, they come back.
Yeah.
But you know what? They come back when they kind of didn't give a damn. When they kind of didn't, well, they weren't frozen with fear.
Hmm.
They put Reynolds at six. They put Wakeham on at number seven. They put Dewey at fullback. And all of a sudden, Luke Brooks is running like, you know, Jonathan Thurston up the middle of the field. It's,
so how do you get them to play like that from the opening whistle? Like, you know,
you've got to change positions. You've got to, and they have this week. I know that they've put Wakeham at seven and Dewey at fullback and Brooks at number six. And going forward, even if, you know, Dane Laurie's a fantastic fullback, but maybe you've got to find another spot for him, because I think Dewey could go really well at fullback.
Mm.
Maybe, I don't know if Dane Laurie's ever played number seven before. I don't know if he'd be good at number 14 coming on the field with a bit like Jaden Campbell playing that type of role. But I do know that as soon as they change their personnel on the field, they looked a lot crisper and better. But let's not take anything away from the Bulldogs, because the game was well and truly won once the Tigers had come back. And on the back of probably the unsung hero of this team at the moment, Jacob Carraz on the wing. He's leading the Dally Ams on 11 points. He's getting involved in everything from the wing. He's so much so that sometimes you think there's two of him on the footy field. You go, how could he get there? So he's indicative of this new spirit that's been implemented by Cameron Serrato at the Doggies. And, yeah, just to do your best, just to go and, you know, I don't care what you do in attack, as long as you defend your ass off. And that's Serrato's mantra. He wants you to defend like your life depends on it, and the attack will come. And that's exactly what's happened to the Panthers over the last 3 or 4 years with Serrato as their defensive coach, and it's what's happening now to the Bulldogs. We wouldn't have been happy, Serrato, with the late flush or late, no, late flutter from the Tigers, but I really think that, yeah, the Bulldogs in front of a fantastic crowd at 40 degrees, man. It was 40 degrees on Sunday. So, well done to those fans that brave the elements.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good that there's a feeling building around that club, because there has been a lot of external expectation put on them with all the recruits they've made, and with Serrato signing on and Gus being there. And that's the sort of environment you'd hate to see a club continue to falter under, because then it becomes, well, we've brought in everything we could possibly need to succeed, and we're still not succeeding.
Yeah.
It's nice that the Bulldogs and a club with a huge, great tradition in this game are starting to climb the ladder. Raiders, Sharks. Now, MG, I have to thank you, because after the last week's pod, when you backed the Raiders in to spring an upset here, I went with you, and you were proved correct, 24-20.
Yeah, down there, I thought that, you know, after what Ricky would have said to him through the week, after having two losses, and with still no Nico Hines, I think he's back this week, and he's coming at a great time, because the Sharks need him to be firing. I can't speak highly of the fan of pants Corey Horsburgh. he was so good. He was, you know, not only does he stand out like dog's balls on a footy field because he's beautiful red hair. He was tough. He was everywhere on the footy field. He was getting under the skin of the Sharkies forwards. And that's that, when you've done that, you've won. When you've done that to the other forwards, when they start chasing after you because they want to get a hold of you, and they're not worrying about what's, you know, Will Kennedy running, or someone, or one of the, you know, who was it?
Yeah, whoever.
I think it was
that.
Matt Timico. He played fantastic. He had a great game. So yeah, look, it was one of them games that they had to win. I still think that Ricky wouldn't be happy with the overall performance. And if we look at the bottom of the table, when you see that the Sharks and the Storm and the Cowboys are all in the bottom six, and Parramatta, after three rounds, you start to go, this competition is the closest I've seen. I think I saw something today. I might have read something from the NRL statement or something, that this is the closest competition since 1975.
And on that note, everybody who listened, just remember that, because we'll have a blowout round. The fixture will work itself out, and there'll be a round where every favourite wins by 20, and everyone will say, oh, the competition stuff, the have and the have nots are too far apart. No. It's just how we're gonna have peaks and troughs in this game and in this season. So just remember how good the footy has been. Let's jump ahead to round four, mate. Eels, Panthers, Thursday night. You're 0-3. It's a grand final replay. and you got two teams who couldn't be sort of further apart in the way they've kicked off the season. Panthers 0-3. Now, it is at home for the Panthers, CommBank Stadium, and they've made some changes. Yep. But it's an 0-3 Eels outfit taking on a Panthers outfit that, you know, will be looking to remind everybody, hey, we're the premiers.
Yeah, it's one of them games that I look at and I worry as a Panther man because they are 0-3. They're playing at Bankwest. Madison is back and with his tail between his legs. If he doesn't get me out of the match for the Parramatta Eels, well, you know, something's wrong.
This is a lose-lose for him, MG, and I'll tell you why. And I hope he goes well, and I hope he gets part of the match, and I hope for the Parramatta fans he wins, and they win the game, right? But here's why it's a lose-lose for Ryan Madison. If he underperforms, there'll be questions. They'll be saying, well, what have you been doing while your team has been out there getting their ass handed to him in the first round?
So he's not match fit.
Exactly. Okay. But if he does perform and he is player of the match, then it'll only intensify the decision not to pay the fine and be available from round one. So
pay the ferryman, brother. Don't even fix a price. Don't pay the ferryman. You've got to get you to the other side,
don't
baby.
Don't pay the ferryman.
Look, before we get onto the tipsy, I just want to quickly say that the NRL are looking to implement next year 38-man squads instead of 30, which I applaud with the current 11-day stand down. I think, but what we've got to do straight away, and I think we've got to do it yesterday, we've got to give every club, instead of having 17 players in a squad and having that 18th man as in the blue jumper, as the HIA player, I think we've just got to have 6 bench players, and that's got to be stock standard. I think going forward, if we want to be fair dinkum about concussion, we want the players to be fair dinkum. We can't see a situation where we see maybe 11 on 10 because of HIAs. We've got to have ample reserves ready to roll in this competition, and we've got to, if we're going up by 8 players into the playing group next year, which I think they should do it quicker, then the other proactive thing they've got to do is say, okay, at the moment we're dead set serious about the concussion in our game. Well, show us how serious you are by giving every team an extra 2 reserves on the bench.
A few little technical issues here, so we've had to pick up the second half of this with MG on the phone, but that's okay. Hey, MG, quickly, I wanted to round out your idea about the extended interchange. Does that, in your mind, the extended interchange, if the NRL decides to permit 6 players on the bench for each team, inevitably the discussion will be, oh, but then you've got more players, fresher, running faster, causing more hits. Do you think those extra players on the bench should be almost put in, locked up until a HIA assessment occurs and then they're permitted to be injected into the game?
No, I think the way that the game's going, with what we've seen in the first 3 weeks, is we're going to see more and more players leaving the field for HIAs. I've seen 3 or 4 players in the first minute of a game not come back. So it's already they name 22. Every club names 22 players each Tuesday. So now they just name 19, and that 19 is your team.
Okay.
And you've got 6 on the bench, and you can do with them what you want, because we're going to get to a stage, Liam, where with this 11-day stand down, I imagine that's going to be even lengthened as well as we get further in the season. That could be 2 to 4 weeks.
Sure.
So. I think for the players' own safety, we've got to give them more players on the bench. I don't want to see – we speak about attrition, and we love attrition in the game, but this is more about being sensible about the way we manage our players as well.
I like the theory, MG. It's good thinking. Righto, let's get stuck into the tips for round 4. Kicks off Parramatta taking on the Panthers. Who are you rolling with?
Panthers, mate. I'm going to go to Pennies.
I'm with you. Hard to go against them. Round 4, a surprisingly important game at this stage of the season. The Storm, 1 win, 2 losses, v. the Tigers, 0-3.
Yeah, they had some ordinary news with Jerome Hughes being rubbed out for 2 weeks as well, so that just combats their dramas at the moment. They do welcome back Cam Munster, albeit with his finger still heavily strapped. Look, Friday night in Melbourne, I expect the Tigers to put up another good fight like they did last week against... the Bulldogs, but I don't think I think they're going to fall short. I think in the back of Munster, I'll get out of the line storm.
Yeah, I agree. I've got grave concerns. I think the Tigers could head into their bye in round 8, 0-7, MG. So it's a real worry. Right, Battle of Brisbane. Let me just run this down for you. You've got first v second, top of the table. Broncos, Dolphins. Suncorp is a sellout. They're going to have 50,000 plus there. We spoke to Jared Wallace the other day. He is expecting... He said he thinks the atmosphere is going to be something akin to Origin. Like, the excitement is so palpable in the city at the moment. Caxton Street's going to be nuts. And I was talking to someone about this morning. You couldn't get a greater storyline in Wayne Bennett as the inaugural coach of the Broncos when they came into the comp. Now he's the inaugural coach of the Dolphins, going up against Kevy Walters, a protege of his in the coaching aspects, and coached him as a player. There's all these wonderful storylines. Kevy Walters, all he ever wanted to do was coach the Broncos after he retired. It is just set up beautifully, MG. The only downside, of course, as we know, Felice Kaufusi, he's probably been the Dolphins' best player to start the year, unavailable due to suspension.
Yeah, you couldn't have asked for a better storyline. You paint a great picture. And let's not forget that every time that there's been a fantastic crowd at Suncorp, there's always been an away team. This is two home teams playing at the one ground, basically. So I think we're going to experience an atmosphere that's been second to none. I don't think we're going to see an atmosphere like it. Origin's always, ferocious, but this is going to be partisan. This is going to be seen 50-50 down the line. You're going to have 50% of the crowd being Broncos fans, and the other 50 are going to be Dolphins fans. I wish I was there. As far as Kaufusi goes, well, I'd never question the integrity of the judiciary panel. They're all ex-players and officials, and they're trying their best. But I will say that the inconsistency is perplexing. It's to see something. I saw a hit in AFL overnight. Mm. What was his name?
It would have been either Shane McAdam on Jacob Weir, Crows v Giants, or it would have been Pickett on Bailey Smith. Yep.
And that would have been sent off and 8 weeks in the NRL.
You got two for it. Insane.
You got 2 weeks. Yeah. It's insane. And I mean, that's a send off. What he did to Jackson Hastings was nothing. It was nothing if not innocuous. It was nothing. I feel for the guy. I really do, because I agree with you. He's been the best player. He's their enforcer. So for that reason that he's out, I lean towards the Broncos.
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Bronx as well. And then the second Queensland derby that is getting absolutely zero shine because of this Brisbane game. Cowboys-Titans up in Townsville. Look, Ruben Cotter out for the Cowboys, so they don't get either Peter Hiku or Drinkwater back, and now Ruben Cotter's out. Mate, I'm sticking with the Titans. You got to stick with the form team.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I just think that they've got to – they'll bounce back into some type of form, the Cowboys. I think they've got to. I love what I'm seeing with the Titans. I really do. AJ Brimson started the year on fire. Young Khan Pereira, we mentioned him earlier. Brian Kelly's back. Shoop in the centres. And Kieran Foran will be out to a... Mm-hmm. He'll be out for some blood. He won't want to ever be replaced again in a rugby league game. But no. I think we might see something special. You know what? I'm going with you. I'm going with you. You've done it again. You talked me into it.
I'd love the Titans to stop conceding so many damn points, but there is a vibe going on, and as I said, I think this weekend you know what everyone's going to be talking about after this weekend? Not the Eels. They're going to be talking about what's happened to the Cowboys. I think everyone, you'll see people start talking about the slide after this weekend. Rabbitohs. Manly, a really good game. You've got to be impressed with what Manly have delivered so far. And all of a sudden, the Rabbitohs kind of need a win.
Yeah, well, the Rabbitohs unbelievably have Harme Sele, Shark Mitchell, and Tevita Totola all set to miss this game for suspension or HIAs. And I think Manly. I'm leaning towards Manly this one. I think that their forward stocks have been really tested. And I think for that reason, I'm leaning towards Manly. I think Schuster at 5'8 on a bigger oval, which is going to be Acor. He's going to have more space. I'm leaning towards, and Tommy Turbo plays with Latrell for the first time since, I think, 2017. Did I read that like that? But anyway, the two fullbacks will be on display, and I think Manly will get the points.
I'm gonna go South Sydney only because I think this South Sydney team is good, and I don't think they'll want to serve up back-to-back losses. I think Souths will win that. Warriors-Bulldogs is a is a juicy encounter over in New Zealand with the form the Dogs take over there, and Warriors coming off a good away win.
Warriors are kind of one of them surprise packets of the season. They recruited really well in the off-season. Their forward packs were strengthened, and they've got a forward pack that rivals most now. They are going to be without the young bloke who went over from Newcastle, whose name is
Mitch Barnett.
Mitch Barnett will be missing. That's a big loss. But
they get Chance Nickel-Klukstad back.
Yeah, true. And you know what? They've been looking frigging good. They've been energetic. They've been I've been loving what Sean Johnson's doing, taking the line on. Tamari Martin looks good. Fenua Blake. For that reason, I'm going to say that Warriors will win on home deck.
Yeah, I think the Warriors win too. I think they deserve to have people tip them this weekend. Knights, Raiders. The Knights look they do get some personnel back, but Kalen Ponga is still not there. I think
they dropped Dominic Young. What's he blaming one bloke for a loss and brought in Greg Marzu?
And not just one bloke, a winger. You're blaming a winger for your loss.
Yeah, I'm in a word, Raiders.
I think that's Dominic Young is signed to go to the Roosters. Yeah. I think that's petty.
Yeah. It is.
I'm tipping the Raiders with you. And tipping the... Yeah, it just... frustrating. I can't imagine how Knights fans are feeling. Like, they must just be tearing their hair out. Dragons, Sharkies.
This could be good. This could be good. You know, we spoke about the dramas off-field with the Dragons at the moment, but they can control one thing that happens to them, and that's on the field on Sunday afternoon, 6:15 p.m. at Nets Strata Stadium. I lean towards the Sharks for one reason, that the number seven's back, Nicholas Hines. And I think that with him steering the ship, he'll take a lot of pressure off these outside men. I think Will Kennedy will score a double in this game, and I think that the Sharkies will win by 10 to 12 points.
It's the Munster effect for the man with the wettest hair in rugby league. It's the Munster effect. You talk about the calmness and the confidence that he breeds within his teammates when they see him run out. And this is a good Sharks team. It's a really good Sharks team. And all they perhaps need is just a little bit of a hey, we're a good team, and the bloke that runs us around the park is back. So
he's back.
I'm with you. Sharkies to win, and then Roosters with the bye. So look, another great round of footy. A really, you know, there is so much on the line for some sides. There's these teams that now must win. The Storm and the West Tigers is one of these teams is going to be in serious shit next week.
I can look at these games, and I can absolutely make a case for any team beating any team in the eight games.
It's great. Rugby league is in a great spot. And MG, the other thing I think that, you know, the people out there know that I am a man who grew up with AFL as a sport. I commentate AFL and I still love the game. But I can tell you that the NRL has this week with all this concussion stuff in the AFL and the lettuce leaf suspensions that these blokes have copped over these head high hits. The NRL is now a leader. Like, they are the dominant code in this right now in Australia as far as the way they are taking this seriously with the level of suspensions. And secondly, on Friday night, the Lions are playing the D's at the same time that this Battle of Brisbane's going on.
Oy.
Mate, this is going to be a black eye for the AFL when there's 50,000 plus at Suncorp Stadium for this game, and what is a marquee game for the AFL down the road at the Gabba between the Lions and the D's doesn't have a same turnout.
It's statement time, NRL. It's statement time. Let's make one.
All right, sir. I'll leave you to enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend of footy, and I'll see you next week.
Go on, your brother. Take it easy. Love you.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.